Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Back in on the drive, we will get to Joe Mays joining us in studio momentarily. But if you're following the NBA draft today's Shams Charania of Yahoo Sports, Baby Woj says that Phoenix has locked in on DeAndre Ayton as the number one overall pick, and Sacramento has locked in on Duke's Marvin Bagley. So the number one and number two picks in the NBA draft are done, according to Shams, and I believe Shams. He is Baby Woj. Phoenix is going to take DeAndre Ayton. Sacramento is going to take Duke's Marvin Bagley. I think Sacramento would take Luka Doncic, Spec. But I don't think Luka Doncic would play. Like, I think he's going back overseas if it comes down to having to play for the Sacramento Kings.
Marvin Bagley may just stick to music instead of going playing for the Sacramento Kings.
What kind of cash is Luka Doncic made playing over there? Was he in Spain? Is that where he's at?
Yeah, he was in the Euro League. I mean, good money. I mean, it's certainly better for him to come over here and play. I think he told Sacramento or his people, we're not coming if you have to do him. So if you're Sacramento, you just can't.
So he's one of the few guys that actually has a little bit of leverage here.
Yeah, I mean, just because he's not from America, so I mean, he certainly can just say, I'm not coming to America if you draft me. So they're not taking him. They seem like they want him to go to Atlanta. Joe Mays, former NFL linebacker, joins us in studio. Joe, how are you doing?
Hey, man, I'm doing good. Thanks for having me on.
We were supposed to plug your place, but nobody can plug their own things better than them. What are you doing these days?
Yeah, so me and my wife, we opened up a holistic wellness center. We are the Leia Center. We're located on 6th and Walnut, right in the River Market area. And what we do, we aim to educate people on how to help their bodies heal itself through natural medicine, meditation, and movement. So we try to hit all phases, mind, body, spirit, and, you know, it's all about keeping ourselves healthy and taking care of ourselves.
I'm not going to ask you to snitch on anybody or give anybody's names. I would never do that. But we were just talking about Jesse Williams. He has to pay $100,000 a month in spousal and child support. This guy texted in. My buddy is getting divorced. He has to pay $2,500 a month for child support, and she was the one that cheated. I live in Washington, listen every day. Go Chiefs. I know you guys in the locker room, you guys talk.
Yeah.
What's the highest number you've heard one of your teammates had to pay in child support?
Nothing near close to that. I was, you know, hearing $5,000, $10,000, but $100,000, that is definitely a lot of money. But at the end of the day, he's making $500,000 a month. You're giving $100,000 to your ex-wife and your kids. Like, just go ahead, toss that money, keep it moving.
She's not the one acting, though. $100,000 is excessive.
I mean, that is excessive, but, you know, he got married. You know, they got married, they got together, so they knew what could happen, what could potentially happen, and they still went along with it. So it's all a part of it.
I'm getting some texts from my wife right now, so I'm no longer a part of this conversation. I just want to let you guys know when it comes to the – she's like, man, he's raising her kids. He's still acting. She's raising the kids.
Yeah, I mean, that's a job in itself, man. I think we're not giving women enough credit, you know, for what they do at home because, you know, if you put each and every last one of us at home with a kid all day, just imagine what you would do and what you wouldn't do.
I'm not denying that, but I know my mom did it for a lot less than $1.2 million.
That's true. You know what I mean? That's true, but he's in a totally different tax bracket, man. Yeah. So.
No, that makes sense. That's a fair point. Sean Barber, he was here the last time you were here. You certainly know Sean. I got a lot of respect for him.
Oh.
This is what he said about the Chiefs defense potentially in 2018. I want to see if you agree.
Yeah, man, we ready to roll. We good with who we got. We don't need to worry about those few players that are from the 2017 season because obviously they wasn't good enough to get it done. So we upgraded. We upgraded everywhere. So the defense is going to be I'm guaranteeing the defense is going to be solid this year.
That's a Sean Barber guarantee.
No doubt. Like I don't guarantee much in life, but I'm guaranteeing this defense is going to be top 15 in the league this year.
Sean Barber thinks the Chiefs could be a top 15 defense in the NFL. Do you agree?
I mean, top 15 defense, I say yes. But we're talking about, you know, once the season is over and done with. So they're going to have to go through their growing pains. You're going to have a lot of young guys out there on the field. They drafted all defense, and they're expecting a couple of those guys to be able to play defensive reps. So it's going to take a learning curve for them guys to get a chance to understand the defense, get used to the speed of the game. It's not going to happen overnight, but at the end of the day, they have the potential to be a top 15 defense, yes.
Whenever you guys are talking about defense, are you guys going more off yards given up? Because last year, the Chiefs were 28th in yards given up. Certainly not good enough, but the Patriots' defense was worse than them from a yard standpoint, but the Patriots only gave up 15 points per game.
Yeah.
Are you focused on guys getting into the end zone? Because we all can agree the Chiefs' defense could be a whole lot better this season than they were last year, but they were middle of the pack. They were average when it came to points allowed, but we all can agree last year's defense wasn't good enough. Are you guys in the defense, are you looking more at yards given up, or are you more looking at just guys getting in the end zone?
I mean, us on the defensive side, we look at everything. Like, we don't want to give up not one single yard when they run the ball. So we're always constantly focusing on, you know, stopping the run and then forcing them to pass and forcing the quarterback into bad situations. So technically, it's the best way to look at it is points given up, points allowed. Because at the end of the day, if your offense putting up 21 to 24 points a game and you're only giving up 15, more than likely you're going to win a game. So I think that's the most important part of it. The yards, that's going to come, man. I mean, we are in the NFL. We are playing against other professionals. It's going
to
happen.
Talking to Joe Mays, former Chiefs linebacker. He's in studio with us. Third down, how important is that? I mean, to me, that seems – that forget yards, forget points. If you can get off the field on third down, right? I mean, is that – if you had to, like, stack in the list of important stuff – and stats that you guys look at, where's third down?
I would have to say third down is top two. I think red zone is very important.
Okay.
Third down, that right there, that's money down. That's the down where you get a chance to make a play. That's huge for your team on either side of the ball. And us being on defense, man, it's all about doing whatever we can to put our offense back on the field. You know, we're just out there just trying to keep the opposing team from scoring and giving the offense back the ball. So that's super important.
Do you think the Chiefs are going to have to change the way they play defense? We've heard this bend don't break thing for, what, the last 4 or 5 years? It's not working.
Mm-hmm.
And if you do think that they have to change the way they play defense, how hard is it to change philosophies and change the way you're doing things?
Yes, I do think they're going to have to change just until you get a chance to see the personnel up close and personal.
Mm-hmm.
The thing is, it's not hard. It's all about tailoring the defense for your guys instead of your guys being tailored to the defense. You know, it's about, you know, utilizing your strength and trying to cover up your weaknesses as much as possible. I felt like last year it was, you know, a lot of man-to-man principles. And, you know, besides 2-2, I don't think they had the guys to play those man-to-man principles, which is why a lot of yards was given up in the passing game. The run game, you know, I've always felt like Dontari Poe was the key guy that was in the middle because he's able to take up two and still be productive and still, you know, wreak havoc in the backfield. So I think those two things, if you tailor around what you have, your personnel, and making sure you're doing what's best for the players instead of worrying about just the scheme itself, you're going to be fine.
Right now we're talking to former NFL linebacker Joe Mays. What do you make of what the Chiefs did this offseason in overhauling their defense? It came very clear to me that Brett Veach had a plan.
Oh, yeah.
Our defense wasn't physical enough to stop the run. Our defense wasn't fast enough at certain key positions. What do you make of what the strategy was defensively this offseason?
I thought they made great moves. I mean, it came at a cost. You know, they had to get rid of number 11, man, you know, which was a very, very good quarterback for us. He was very stable, which is what you need in, you know, an offense and a quarterback to keep the ball, hold on to the ball and not turn it over. So it came at a cost, but I think they definitely got younger. They got faster, that was the purpose. That was the whole, you know, thing heading into the offseason. They need to get younger, which is why they got rid of, you know, DJ and Tamba, and they let some young guys come in and play some ball. So I felt like they made some good moves. We still got to see what's going to happen, though. You know, I mean, these are good players they brought in. But at the end of the day, you can be as good as you want to on paper, but you got to be able to show that on the field.
One saying I've always heard football people say, and some they say in other sports, I think it's mostly a football thing, that the biggest jump, the biggest improvement you make is from year one to year two.
Yeah.
Because you've been in the system, you understand the system, and the game slows down. How true is that? Because I'm thinking of a guy like Passanio. You now kind of redshirted a little bit the first year.
Mm-hmm.
Now in year two, I'm expecting you to produce. I'm expecting you to do something this year for the defense.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's definitely huge. You know, taking that next step in year two, because you get a chance to step your game up in the NFL. You play the first year. Yeah, it's tough because the speed of the game. I mean, these guys are bigger, stronger, faster. We say it, but when you get to the field, you really, really notice that. But heading into year two, I feel like the game does kind of slow down a little bit. You know exactly what you're doing. And you know the scheme and everything, so it's a lot less thinking. You don't have to worry about it. You just go out there and react and play and be a football player, which is what we brought in to do anyway.
Yeah, I just was really looking at the defense, and I feel like every team says we want to get bigger, we want to get stronger, we want to get faster on defense. Well, I mean, that's everybody's goal when it comes to football.
Yeah.
I was really happy to see that it felt more targeted than in years past. Like, they really look for hybrid guys, that guys that can maybe come down in the box and help with run defense, and guys that could play the pass as well. I just feel like Veach's strategy to try to accomplish younger, faster, and all that kind of stuff, it seemed much more pointed than other years.
Of course. I mean, when you have a year defensively like they had last year, it's definitely going to be pointed. They're gonna overhaul everything and try to figure out, okay, what is it that we're weak at, which they decided that they were very weak at defense, which mm-hmm. at all three levels. So they brought in guys at all three levels to try to, you know, get this thing rolling again and turn it over. So it was pointed. You know, it was pointed. He already knew the direction they wanted to go in, and he executed.
How long does it take for a guy like, for a young guy on the edge to really find his groove? Because, and I guess I'm specifically talking about like somebody like Tano Pastrnak, a guy came from Villanova,
mm-hmm.
you know, who I'm curious if he's going to be the guy on the other side of Justin Houston. How long does it take for a guy like that to really feel comfortable in the NFL? Is it year two, year three?
I mean, it takes a little bit of time unless you come across, you know, a Von Miller, a guy where he's definitely the exception. But I would say it takes a year or two just to get your feet wet. Because, you know, at the end of the day in college, we all got by just by being athletic or, you know, having something that we were really, really good at. In the NFL, you got to put all those things together. You got to be athletic. You have to play with technique. You have to play with leverage. Like, you got to put all of those things together. And sometimes it's harder for some folks than others. But, you know, I feel like, you know, this is going to be the year where you get a chance to see these young guys really blossom.
Yeah.
To see if the coaching that they received last year and everything that they've learned is going to come into play. So I'm excited, man.
Me too.
Right now we're talking to Joe Mays. He is with us in studio for another 20 minutes or so. If you got a question, text something in. Text line 69306. Just here talking football on a Thursday. You said something really interesting about Marcus Peters. I want to talk to you on the other side about Bob Sutton and what you see, I guess, flaws in his scheme and how you would improve it. Coming up on The Drive.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.